You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagorovic Carucci here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Bye week Tuesday, but a beautiful bye week Tuesday, coming off of a win 24-18 over the Baltimore Ravens. The Browns in second place in the AFC North. And if you didn't hear, Tom Withers dropped a stat. This is the first time in the history of the AFC North that the Bengals and the Browns have been the top two teams in the division since the division was created back in 2002. So,
and it's caught.
That's saying something.
It's saying something. And you know what's neat, too, and I love these kinds of stories, and we want to see more of them, how the community is reacting to this. Rob Chudzinski met with reporters today and shared this anecdote about a fan, what this fan told him at a pizza parlor on Friday night. No, we'll have. Okay, so the sound is coming up shortly. We're going to get that started. There it is.
Maybe he said the pizza's good.
I was actually with my family out getting pizza on Friday night and ran into a fan who came by and just stopped in and said he really likes the way we play. He didn't say anything about wins or losses. He just said he likes the way we play. And, you know, I think that the fans are seeing that, are appreciating how we play. It adds to their excitement. I think that that adds to our players' excitement, and they feed off of the fans being excited. And so it's generally been a real good thing for all of us.
You nailed it, Nathan. You said players will respond to this as much as anything. The boldness of the coach, the trust that the coach has in them to do it. But fans eat this up because they're the ones that always want to go for it under any circumstance.
Yeah.
And most coaches live by the credo that if you start listening to the fans, you eventually sit with the fans. You don't get the coach anymore because those decisions get you fired. But I love the boldness. And it's not just bold for the sake of being bold. It's based on a trust that guys can do it and that the plays that are being called are good plays.
And that mathematicians who have studied this for years and years and years have said it is actually the right play in many cases to go for it on fourth down. So this is not, it is bold because it's in the face of traditional convention. However, statistically speaking, it is in many cases the absolute right thing to do. And I know this is a team that's big on analytics, and I like that Rob Chudzinski, you know, has that and goes with it. And I think it's part of the reason that this team, we talked about how it's been galvanized the last couple of weeks, that it has great chemistry, and the head coach talked about the chemistry on the Browns.
I feel good about how we're building a culture and identity here. That doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. And, you know, we have a group of guys, I think, that have really come together. They're relentless. I think we see that on a day-to-day basis. And they're passionate about playing football and passionate about being Cleveland Browns. And that's something that's important to us. And I feel like we're making strides in that area.
Culture and identity, words that get tossed around a lot in this business in reference to teams, especially football teams, but they matter. And establishing the winning culture, establishing a chemistry within your team, those are complicated things. They don't happen easily. We know of situations where you see not just a losing record, but you see sort of a losing mentality. You see a sense that of give up on the part of some teams, or a woe is us, we'll never be good. Unfortunately, this Browns team was plagued by that for a long, long time. And it permeates, I think, from an outside perspective. Again, the fans who are the connections between seasons, they maintain a feeling that, again, this team has broken hearts for so long. What's the use to believe in it? Or, yeah, I'm still believing in it, but I'm fully expecting to have a heartbreak. I think that's getting pushed aside by a sense of not necessarily this is going to be a year of a postseason contender, but even though that is still a viable thing, a viable conversation, a relevance right now, it connects to the thought that next year and beyond are going to be good because you like what you're seeing now.
And that's exactly the point I was making. Regardless of how the rest of the season goes, being able to know that you can beat Cincinnati, you can beat Baltimore, you can beat Pittsburgh and handle your division, that means you're always in it to win your division every single year. I believe fully that this team has the belief, and that's why last week was so important to me. Because next year, when they start the season, they're going to know that they can beat all of the teams in their division, and that's a change from what's been around in the past. We're going to go to the phone lines now, get some barks from the dog pound at 216-578-0850. Rick on his cell phone is up first. What's up, Rick?
Gentlemen, first of all, I just want you all to know that when I'm in my car going back and forth to work, this radio station's always on, and I love your stuff.
Thank you.
Oh, no problem. Mr. Sherry, you're awesome. Thank you. Here's my million-dollar question, and I'll leave it to you wise gentlemen to answer it for me, because I've not heard anybody ask it. If the same minds that decided Brandon Whedon was your starting quarterback, who's the ones that are looking at a quarterback in the draft? What were they blinded by? And there's got to be a subversive plot. You cannot tell me by how well Brian Hoyer played and how well Jason Campbell played that Brandon Whedon was proven to be the starting quarterback.
Okay, Rick, I'm gonna explain. By the way, it's Segura, but that's okay, and he is awesome. We love him, and we're glad he's here. So let me back this up on you. There's no subversive plot. This is not an Oliver Stone situation, I assure you. Here's the best way I can break it down, and I'm confident that this is straight scoop from the inside. All right. When the offseason began, the plan, when you had the three quarterbacks in place being, of course, Whedon, Campbell, Hoyer, the Browns felt the collective mindset of Joe Banner, of Michael Lombardi, Rob Chudzinski et al., throw North Turner into this, believed that they had to find out what Whedon was all about. As a first-round pick, even though by a previous administration, that investment was only made a year ago, and they knew the least about him. I mean, they could look at tape from a year ago, and you and others will say, well, if you just looked at that, that should have settled any thought that you go any further with this guy. But it's not that simple. He was a rookie at that point, and you want to find out more about him. He's going to be working in a different offense with different coaches. It made sense to go down the road of seeing what he was all about. That's what gave him that sort of edge, if that's even the right way to put it. Rob Chudzinski wasn't lying when he told us in August all three quarterbacks were equal or as close to equal as could be, and that this was not going to be a real easy call, even though it had seemed to be trending because of Whedon getting the first team snaps that he was going to be the guy going into the year, which he was. But it was not done because they felt that he was that much better than anyone else. It was done primarily because it was close enough, and that it being close enough, they definitely did go to the fact that he was a first-rounder that they needed to find out about in terms of that organizational first-round investment. And by the way, and Nathan will back this up, and we've talked about this on the show, Nathan and I watch practically every snap of every practice through training camp.
Yes.
I watched them through the offseason. I can tell you there were no overwhelming moments where you thought the other quarterbacks were that much better. There were days, in fact, when we looked at each other and said, God, we hope Whedon doesn't get hurt, because if you got to go to one of these other guys, it's going to be a problem. We said that, and we said it on the show, and we said it among each other. True?
It is very true. And I think that you watch him in practice, and you can be and sometimes mesmerized by his arm and mesmerized by the throws he makes. But there's no question in training camp he looked like the better quarterback. And I think it's fair that the team wanted to evaluate him. I think that they didn't draft him, so they wanted a chance to see. And listen, it's not like they wasted that much time on it. I don't think it was a massive...
I know there's a feeling that the season and opportunity was blown by him being in there. I'm not entirely buying that. I know you could say, well, yeah, if it's Campbell versus Detroit and it's Campbell versus Green Bay, those are potentially wins or better positioned to win than others. I'm not 1,000% sold that that's true, but I still believe, I know since what we saw is better, it's easy to say, yes, it would have happened as easily in that. And you can't just say that and believe that entirely, because I don't. I believe what I see, and yes, I know Campbell and Hoyer have been much better and more dynamic at what they did. But the bottom line of all of this is, you know, you saw those two guys do what they did, And you asked me about trust in people who are going to make a draft decision in 2014. Can they be trusted to do the right thing in light of the Whedon thing? Well, they brought in Campbell and Hoyer, didn't they? They brought in Barkevious Mingo, didn't they?
Yes.
They made the decisions that rebuilt this defense, especially the front in this 3-4 scheme, didn't they? And it's pretty effective, isn't it? And hiring Ray Horton to be the defensive coordinator, hiring Norv Turner to be the offensive coordinator, all good moves, aren't they? So I think the list of what they've done that gives them credibility to handle a draft well is substantial.
And I've heard a lot of talk about Leon McFadden, and yes, that would be one that at this juncture we would say that they didn't hit on, but the draft is an inexact science.
You screw some up. Yes.
And I'll also say 7th-round pick Armani Bryant is looking very,
looking really good.
Very good.
The best GMs in this league, Hall of Fame general managers, Bill Polian, all right, one of my closest friends on this planet, 6-time NFL Executive of the Year, the man from whom I've learned most of what I know about this game, spent a lot of time around him in Buffalo, and then afterward, when I worked with NFL.com and NFL Network, he was my regular consultant and still is in many respects, and he works for ESPN. You hear him on this show quite a bit, SiriusXM NFL Radio. The man is a font of knowledge. That guy screwed up some picks. He will tell you, he can give you chapter and verse on what he missed on, what he messed up on. He's a Hall of Fame general manager. So, great ones miss him. But I'm not even comparing, and I won't say that the group running this team is a Hall of Fame group of personnel selectors. They've got a long way to go to have that kind of career. But I like the start of it. So I won't get hung up on the idea that, you know what, they've missed on some things, or this Whedon decision shows pure incompetence, and sounded like that's where Rick was going with this, and I'm not going to buy that.
No.
I can't accept that. All right, inside the locker room, we want to do that in a little bit with Christian Yount. Our own Jameer Howerton from ClevelandBrowns.com is going to sit with him.
And don't forget, just because the Browns have a bye week on November the 10th doesn't mean you have to be without football. Join us at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton for the Browns bye week bash. Fans wearing Browns gear get an $11 admission from 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. and have the opportunity to meet alumni Leroy Horde and Dick Shafrath from 1 to 3 and Brownie the Elf from 3 to 5. Visit profootballhof.com for more information. We're going inside the locker room when CBD returns. Your mama's flying high as a kite.